He did not think about her again, or about any of the others, after he went into the workshop with the steaming cup, and he lighted the lamp in order to count the little gold fishes, which he kept in a tin pail. There were 17 of them. Since he had decided not to sell any, he kept on making 2 fishes a day, and when he finished 25, he would melt them down and start all over again. He worked all morning, absorbed, without thinking about anything, without realizing that at 10 o'clock the rain had grown stronger, and someone ran past the workshop, shouting to close the doors before the house was flooded, and without thinking even about himself until Ursula came in with his lunch and turned out the light. "What a rain!" Ursula said. "October," he said. When he said it, he did not raise his eyes from the first little fish of the day, because he was putting in the rubies for the eyes. Only when he finished it and put it with the others in the pail did he begin to drink the soup. Then, very slowly, he ate the piece of meat roasted with onions, the white rice, and the slices of fried bananas all on the same plate together. His appetite did not change under either the best or the harshest of circumstances. After lunch, he felt the drowsiness of inactivity. Because of a kind of scientific superstition, he never worked or read or bathed or made love until 2 hours of digestion had gone by, and it was such a deep-rooted belief that several times he held up military operations so as not to submit the troops to the risks of indigestion. So he lay down in the hammock, removing the wax from his ears with a penknife, and in a few minutes he was asleep. He dreamed that he was going into an empty house with white walls, and that he was upset by the burden of being the first human being to enter it. In the dream, he remembered that he had dreamed the same thing the night before, and on many nights over the past years, and he knew that the image would be erased from his memory when he awakened, because that recurrent dream had the quality of not being remembered except within the dream itself. A moment later, indeed, when the barber knocked at the workshop door, Colonel Aureliano Buendia awoke with the impression that he had fallen asleep involuntarily for a few seconds, and that he had not had time to dream anything. "Not today," he told the barber. "We'll make it on Friday." He had a 3-day beard speckled with white hairs, but he did not think it necessary to shave because on Friday he was going to have his hair cut and it could all be done at the same time. The sticky sweat of the unwanted siesta aroused the scars of the sores in his armpits. The sky had cleared, but the sun had not come out. Colonel Aureliano Buendia released a sonorous belch, which brought back the acidity of the soup to his palate, and which was like a command from his organism to throw his blanket over his shoulders and go to the toilet. He stayed there longer than was necessary, crouched over the dense fermentation that was coming out of the wooden box, until habit told him that it was time to start work again. During the time he lingered, he remembered again that it was Tuesday, and that José Arcadio II had not come to the workshop because it was payday on the Banana Company farms. That recollection, as all of those of the past few years, led him to think about the war without his realizing it. He remembered that Colonel Gerineldo Márquez had once promised to get him a horse with a white star on its face, and that he had never spoken about it again. Then he went on toward scattered episodes, but he brought them back without any judgment, because since he could not think about anything else, he had learned to think coldly so that inescapable memories would not touch any feeling. On his way back to the workshop, seeing that the air was beginning to dry out, he decided that it was a good time to take a bath, but Amaranta had got there ahead of him. So he started on the second little fish of the day. He was putting a hook on the tail when the sun came out with such strength that the light creaked like a fishing boat. The air, which had been washed by the 3-day drizzle, was filled with flying ants. Then he came to the realization that he felt like urinating, and he had been putting it off until he had finished fixing the little fish. He went out into the courtyard at 4:10, when he heard the distant brass instruments, the beating of the bass drum, and the shouting of the children, and for the first time since his youth, he knowingly fell into a trap of nostalgia, and relived that prodigious afternoon of the gypsies when his father took him to see ice. Santa Sofia de la Piedad dropped what she was doing in the kitchen and ran to the door. "It's the circus!" she shouted. Instead of going to the chestnut tree,